podcast is brought to you by the Microsoft Partner Team in Switzerland to give you an insight into our diverse partner landscape and how those partnerships can benefit your business. We invite one Microsoft partner in every episode to deep dive into their offering and how the joint value proposition benefits our customers. We want to provide information beyond the flashy and PR marketing material and do a deep dive in the actual content. Please like, share, and subscribe. Myself, I'm Thomas Winter. I'm the host of this show, the partner lead of Microsoft Switzerland. It's our honor today to welcome Paul Handley from the Microsoft division of the Frank Recruitment Group called Nigel Frank to our podcast today. Paul, it's great to have you.
Thank you for having me, Thomas. Really nice to be a part of it.
Let's start with a little bit about yourself. Who are you as a person?
Sure. Me as a person. So I'm the leader, like you said, of the Frank Recruitment Group business in Switzerland and Austria. For me, I've been in the recruitment industry for 16 years. It's been a global journey. I'm originally from the UK. I've lived and worked in the recruitment industry in Singapore, in Mumbai, in India, in Shanghai, in China, and then obviously for the last sort of 4 or 5 years here in Switzerland. So I'm based in Geneva and happy to be part of the podcast.
Fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit about Frank Recruitment Group, Nigel Frank, the specific Microsoft division. Yeah, give us a bit of insight on the company and what you do.
Sure, perfect. Okay. Well, first and foremost, we're the only pure Microsoft specialist recruitment consultancy in Switzerland. We've got a multilingual team dedicated to sourcing talent specifically in Azure, Dynamics, Power Apps, and the broader modern workplace. And our job is to help Microsoft partners accelerate their business by solving what's often their biggest restrictor, and that's obviously finding the right talent. So one step back from Switzerland, we're the global leader in recruitment for the Microsoft ecosystem. At any one time, we work with around 500,000 Microsoft candidates that represent our candidate portfolio. And we have 19 offices around the world. We partner with Microsoft actually as well in some of the major conferences like Ignite, Inspire, Envision, the Business Summit, and the Power Platform World Tour. So really embedded into that Microsoft talent ecosystem and the global leaders in recruitment.
Wonderful. Are you also recruiting for our customers, or is it a service you only offer to our partners?
Sure. It's separated in two ways. So our business, we have a partner ecosystem talent providing service where we're obviously supporting the vendor partner. Whereas on the flip side, we also then have a separate division within our organization, which focuses on the enterprises and the end users. So at any one time, because obviously a talent partner will be looking for a different type of consultant than maybe a large pharmaceutical company might be. But we have dedicated teams aligned to both areas, but in obviously separate divisions.
Fantastic. Now, and why are you at that specific company? Why are you at Frank Group or Nigel Frank?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's a good question. For me, I wanted to join a business which is, I suppose, driving the change of the future of recruitment. There's lots of companies out there in our industry that might hire finance and marketing and HR and logistics people for organizations. But the future of recruitment is in pure niche specialization. The future of the world is technology, and the global leaders of niche specialist technology recruitment is Frank Recruitment Group. So there was no better organization for me to join in terms of how I see my career developing. And B, the challenge to lead the Swiss business, which is obviously on a continual technological advancement, is also very, very appealing. I think the industry we have here in Switzerland is only continuing to evolve. It will only become bigger. It will only become more important on the global stage. And to lead the business in this part of the world is a privilege. So
let's dive a bit deeper then into your business. You're not the typical profile of a partner we normally interviewed. And that's why I would like to spend a bit more time in our discussion. Who are you and what you do? Your website says you're a global niche technology recruitment specialist. So maybe you can elaborate a bit further on that specific part of your claim to fame, so to speak.
No, I mean, when we talk about being niche, our business is purely a technology recruitment organization. Okay, so we don't hire skills that are outside the technology domain. Within the tech domain, when we spoke earlier about our Nigel Frank brand, that is purely dedicated to the Microsoft ecosystem. So our specific consultants specialize in one product area of the Microsoft ecosystem. So we have a team specifically focused in Switzerland on Azure, We have another team focused just on finding the best Dynamics candidates, just on finding the best Power Apps and Power BI candidates, and a team focused on the broader modern workplace space here in Switzerland. So it's very, very niche, very, very specialist, but purely because the talent ecosystem here in Switzerland doesn't supply vast amounts of candidates into the channels. Our job is to support the Microsoft partners in Switzerland and the enterprise and end user companies with new talent in the Swiss market through proactively going to acquire that talent, both A, from within Switzerland, and B, from the neighboring countries.
The recruitment business has changed quite a bit over the years. In the past, it was all about people and network, and you basically had to stay in the same place forever to build that network, and you couldn't take it with you unless you were looking for global clientele towards mapping it towards the global demand, but looking at the type of people you recruit, they're probably often still locally based. So how has that changed for you? How does that work?
I think, first of all, no matter what industry or ecosystem you're working in, recruitment's all about putting the right people in the right places. And that's no different in the Microsoft space. So people being the driving force behind all of these platforms, ultimately to offer an employment contract to somebody, there's always an interview between two human beings in order to identify the fit beyond the technical aspects of a role. So this is where we come into that cycle. Technology is a key driver of the recruitment business, but ultimately the final fit between two human beings is what ultimately leads to an offer of employment. So for us, how a HR person or a line manager has the time to interview 20 people for a position is, first of all, almost impossible in the Swiss market. And secondly, you're only opening up a talent pool of candidates who have applied, which by default means that candidate is actively looking for a new job. If you take the whole demographic of the talent pool of who is a potential applicant for that vacant position, you're only narrowing that to probably 5 or 10% by looking at the active talent pool. Our job is to go into that inactive talent pool of the 90% of people who can do the job, but maybe they don't know about that job. Maybe they're not looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And our job's to go and convince those people to work for such a partner or an end user. So I think the technology industry within the recruitment specialization is always evolving, but ultimately two human beings are what will ultimately make the match for somebody to be offered a job and accept it.
That's great insight. Now, we talked about the human side of that process. Now, how much is technology supporting the business that you do? I mean, everybody knows LinkedIn, obviously. I'm sure you somehow go beyond that, otherwise beyond the kind of just the vanilla offering that there is. So how does technology play into what you guys do?
Sure, that's a good question. For us, our approach to utilize technology is to replace those monotonous tasks and replace that time for our consultants to spend doing the more valuable work, which is building relationships with their clients, advising their clients and their candidates, helping candidates prepare for interviews, developing their technical knowledge. So for us, we take the technology part to simplify tasks. One example might be we use a tool, a cloud-based tool, which is a CV integrator. So this is a tool which takes the many CVs that we receive in our Outlook inboxes. It formats a CV and uniforms the CV for presenting to a client. And I know when I first started in recruitment, every CV is totally different. Some people have a photograph. Some people put their experience first, their certifications last. They talk about what food they like to cook at a weekend. So this CV integration tool that we have, it basically self-codes, self-formats and uniforms CVs for client presentation, which is a huge saver of our administration time, which allows us to do more interesting things. We use a market-leading cloud CRM system. That's obviously allowed us to streamline our processes, create an accessible single source of information to allow that data and the insights from the candidates that we work with to provide more meaningful areas of expertise for us. We do obviously use LinkedIn as a Microsoft license for LinkedIn Recruiter. If we were a recruitment agency that didn't, we'd definitely be missing out on something. It is a very good tool. And the final two parts are obviously video. So video interviews are now the norm, obviously through Microsoft Teams. But the final part being video CVs are now becoming much more important. We see that more so for junior positions, for candidates entering the workforce for the first time who've maybe recently become certified in Microsoft technologies. But when you don't have drastic amounts of physical career experience under your belt, what then makes you stand out? And very often now we see one-page CV with the academic and educational profile with just a link to a video. And this is a candidate explaining why they'd be interested in that role, what types of certifications they've got, how they intend to keep learning, and what value they bring to a business. And I think the world is heading more and more in that direction.
Yeah, that is an interesting topic, right? I worked remote for a large amount of my career, and it was always in video long before it was a thing. So it's a skill which you can hone and develop over time, being comfortable and natural in front of the camera. And so definitely something, I think, for candidates listening to this, something to build your individual experience. Is there any resources you recommend how to kind of prepare for a video interview or do a video profile? Is there something you can suggest there, or maybe put in show notes or so, or anything that comes to your mind right away?
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, the most obvious thing for us is we in-house, we've developed our own sort of best practice toolkit, which we share with our candidates in terms of helping them prepare to A, do a video interview, or B, to create their video CV. So people who are interested in doing that, yes, I can put some external links in the show notes. But from my side, we're happy to engage in a conversation with those people and support them as best we can.
Fantastic. Now, coming back to the technology part, just out of curiosity, you talked about this CV standardization tool. You have the more sophisticated name, but does that yet use any AI, or is this more of an algorithmic thing at this point in time?
No, it's a combination. So our CRM absolutely does use AI. So when we're searching within we have almost 500,000 Microsoft candidates in our ecosystem. So refining that by location, the predictive analytics that our CRM throws out through AI and machine learning shows if we're searching for somebody specifically with Azure experience, it will then automatically predict that we should be then searching on the certifications of Azure. So it's not, oh, I suppose it is. It's a total time saver. And B, it just makes our searching criteria much more specific, which allows us to get access to the better quality candidate, even quicker.
This is fascinating. Yesterday, I listened to the Work Life podcast from Adam Grant, super fascinating professor at organizational psychology, wrote a number of interesting books, and he talked about people in career transitions. And one of the people he interviewed left university and then built the search engine optimization business. And for whatever reason, wanted to go back into a regular corporate job being employed. And because his CV was non-standard, he couldn't get access and couldn't get the first interview, because he got sorted out by all these algorithms. So then what he did, he approached this thing as an SEO opportunity. So himself being search engine optimized. So it's be an interesting philosophical debate if these tools actually sometimes sort out the non-standard candidates, even if they might be fantastic talents. Is there any experience that you guys made with that? And is there an advice you'd give to candidates how to tell their story that they're not falling through the grid of these machine learning algorithms?
Yeah, sure. No, it's a very good question and a very prevalent one. CV matching engines, right? These sort of SEO evolved matching engines, they're getting smarter all the time, right? And they're increasingly able to spot things like keyword stuffing. I'll also tell you a very interesting and quite funny story, just a brief one. But we had an instance a couple of weeks ago where through our CV integration tool that I mentioned there, we had an instance where a candidate was coming up as the number one AI-driven candidate in our CRM for Azure. And we looked at it, and reading the detail of the CV, we were confused as to how this person was appearing at the top of all of our rankings. And what we did, we finally looked at it and thought, typically he would only appear in these rankings if he had the word Azure 1,000 times in his profile and he had 18 months of experience. So it was very confusing. Long story short, simple old school trick, control F. We pressed that, typed in Azure, hit enter. The chap, remained nameless, had written the word Azure 126 times in white font on the very last page of his CV. So it didn't appear in the CV content, but did put him to the top of any of these algorithm searches for hitting the keyword multiple times. For me, that only made the candidate look stupid. But for him, he probably thought he was doing himself a favor by getting top of the charts. So we have to be careful. But thankfully, we can't only rely on the tech to decide if a candidate's well qualified or not.
Well, it's an interesting conversation, right? I mean, I would totally want to see that guy. I mean, just the creativity is brilliant. Is it cheating? Is it not? But still, I mean, maybe he's not the Azure specialist, but he might be a brilliant salesman for anything. So that's kind of, yeah. I mean, you could go put meta tags in or all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's almost like you're hacking these systems. That's fascinating.
Yeah, very interesting. I think the only final comment I'll make on that as well is when we're talking about these algorithm tools, often we're talking then about volumes of CVs. Whereas the reality, if we're talking about the Swiss Microsoft talent market, clients come to us because when they put a cloud solution architect position on a leading Swiss job board, they put it on there themselves. It costs a few hundred bucks. And I think they expect to fill the job. And then 2 weeks later, they have two applications of candidates that either are not in the country, don't speak the languages, or don't have the required skill set. Again, because a job advert attracts active candidates. And if I was a competent Azure solution architect, unless it's a coincidence that I'm looking for a new job, I'm not looking for a new job. So it's our task to go and find those people, convince them, and then introduce them to our clients based on a specific role, as opposed to find these active candidates who are putting Azure in the CV 126 times, you know?
Now, we figured out what you shouldn't do in your CV, but is there any advice you give people what they should do that the CV reflects the experience and skill set and also kind of is being picked up by the algorithms and the engines in addition to the human beings looking at it?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So the first and foremost, let me start by saying what the biggest mistake people make when they prepare their CV. The biggest mistake they make is listing what they do as opposed to what value they create for the company that they work for, right? So a CV should focus on achievements, right? It should focus on value creation. It should focus on the things that you've done beyond the list of the things you do on a day-to-day basis. So for me, the advice that I'd give to anybody, especially in technology, is page one should be about, I suppose, three core things. It should be about the key technologies that you use and that you're competent at in black font, not disguised. Two, it should be about your essential skill set, right? So the core activities that you operate on. Third should be about the certifications that you have, which are obviously very important, as well as your personal details and languages and so forth. And then further down that first page or onto the second page, it's then about talking about the role that you do and what the objective of your role is, right? Not a 25 bullet points about what you do on a day-to-day basis. It should be, what is the purpose of your role? And secondly, underneath that, directly underneath it, should be, what is the value you create from that role? Because a CV, ultimately, it's a sales document. The only reason anybody would prepare a CV is because they want to have an interview for a new job. And to have an interview for a new job, you have to sell yourself. And that's what that CV should represent. It should have the keywords, key technologies, essential skill set, certifications, and then what your job is and how you've created value in that role. If you do that, that sales document will get you to the top of the pile, whether it's through an algorithm or a human being looking at it.
Excellent. Now, maybe staying in the same area, I mean, we talk now about all the technology expertise. On the other side, we often also talk about industry expertise. How does that play in your field, one versus the other? And said we talked now about the tech expertise. Maybe you shed a bit of light on your position on industry knowledge in those tech roles you, after all, bring on board.
Sure. Again, for us, we do a lot of surveys, we do a lot of white papers, we do a lot of salary studies with our Microsoft candidates around the world. And in our most recent survey of Azure professionals, 91% rated technology knowledge is the most important factor for them being valuable as a candidate, right? Whereas in contrast, only 55% stated that specific industry experience was important. So the clear and defined answer is technology knowledge within that product domain is more valuable than the industry knowledge, which can obviously be learned. But of course, the ideal match is a combination of both. For example, if you're a fintech business in Zurich and you're hiring, you know, an Azure platform as a service architect, and I, as Frank Recruitment Group, present three profiles. All three have used Azure platform as a service. One's from the manufacturing industry, one's from the pharmaceutical industry, and one's from the financial services industry. Which candidate are you going to choose? You're going to choose candidate number three, typically, which I suppose gives weight to the fact that the technology skill is important, but the industry skill is a bonus as opposed to a necessity. And final point being, you know, think of products like Dynamics 365, the industries that will use the submodules, manufacturing, construction, automotive, they're quite niche. So candidates with the industry experience and the tech expertise will always be top of the list, if you like. But the tech piece is more important than the industry piece if it was a comparison between the two.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any changes over the last, I don't know, 12-ish months when it comes to requirements or what people look for in talents in this cloud tech space? Has the requirements changed or how people look for talent?
To a degree. I mean, recently, I've also done a Swiss technology leadership series with, I've interviewed 25 CIOs here in Switzerland and asked them all the same five questions. It's five questions in 5 minutes. And the findings from that, which are talking about the evolution of the Swiss technology industry specifically, there's sort of three or four key points that come up. One being roles centered around data, BI, cloud-driven positions from a data science and machine learning perspective, absolutely growing, much more so in the last 12 months than the 12 months before that. The second part being cybersecurity. As digital transformation grows, of course, so does the world's attack vector. So employers mm-hmm. are taking steps to secure their own digital infrastructure in a much more meaningful way than they have done, obviously, over the last few years. So there's a focus technically from a sort of data BI and cybersecurity perspective. But the flip side of that is, given how fast the cloud technology industry has evolved in the last few years, there's also been an increased focus on soft skills. So where historically the technical skills were good enough to do the IT job, it's now not the case. Employers want people who are adaptable, who are curious, who are willing to learn new things, and they want people who will grow and develop the skills alongside the changing needs of the business, which has become a lot more of a focus in the last 12 months than it was in recent history.
Hmm. That's good. So nerd or die isn't a thing anymore. You got to bring a bit more.
No, it's not. you'll be sad to hear.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, it's two kind of very diverging skill sets in a way, but I think it's a good point you're making also for people listening to the podcast and figuring out where do they invest next. Maybe sometimes it's worthwhile to take a negotiation class or an interpersonal skill set class instead of taking the next tech certification once you've built yourself a solid foundation. So I think that's trying to translate it into a specific action step for people who are interested. I think that would be probably a good advice. Now, maybe kind of coming to the latter part of our conversation, what's the customer feedback you get? Like, what do customers like most working with you? What do your returning clients say? Why do they return to you versus to somebody else?
There's probably four things that we're most often commended for. And the first part being our technical expertise. Because we only recruit into the Microsoft ecosystem, we're a pure Microsoft specialist recruitment agency. And there aren't many of those in the world. So the first part is we understand the customer requirements more so than some of our perceived competitors. The second part is the speed of delivery. So like I alluded to before, clients often come to us when they've advertised the job themselves, unsuccessfully, unfortunately for them. But then 48 hours later after briefing us, we give them two or three qualified candidates that match both the cultural fit, because we've obviously discussed what those requirements are with the customer, and the technical fit, because we understand what the technical competencies are required to do the job, given our specialization. And ultimately, not filling the job is much more expensive than paying a recruitment fee to somebody like us when you know you're guaranteed to fill the job at the end of the cycle. So that's the second part. The third part is the ability to source the more niche skill sets, right? You know, again, that talent isn't just walking around on the streets of Geneva, Zurich, Basel, or Bern with an A-frame on saying, hire me because I have skills in A, B, and C. We have to go out and headhunt that talent, which is really important. And often HR people or IT leaders, they don't have the time nor the capacity to do that. And the final thing in Switzerland is then to find those candidates with the languages. So having candidates work in the Swiss ecosystem. In Geneva, we'll source candidates A, from within Swiss-Romande, but B, from France. We'll utilize our candidate portfolio in the major conurbations of the French cities and bring people to Switzerland, which also then populates and increases the Swiss Microsoft ecosystem. So those are the four things: technical expertise, speed of delivery, sourcing niche skill sets, and sourcing candidates with languages.
Excellent. Final question. What would you suggest both to companies who source talent and then to candidates? Let's split it into two. How to best approach you, how to best work with you, that you can either help them find talents or have help the talent find a new opportunity?
Yes, of course. The first way is we're a leading Microsoft recruitment partner in Switzerland. So on our website, on frankgroup.com, you can very simply access our Swiss team. We're very active on LinkedIn with the content that we share, where you can identify me and my colleagues in Geneva, Zurich, and Basel. And see, from our perspective, because we're so present, we're often in contact or attempting to be in contact with people in the Microsoft ecosystem in Switzerland as well. So if you now see that email sitting in your LinkedIn talent box from the Frank Group, at least now you can hopefully put a name or a voice to that particular email and engage in a conversation without any expectation.
Fantastic. I think that's very actionable, both for candidates and companies. So with that, we're coming to an end of our conversation today. I hope this was interesting for our audience, a bit of a different spin to our normal conversation. But I mean, everybody is talent in a way, and many of our listeners acquire talent. So hopefully that's a very practical and actionable helping hand in this war for talent we're all in. With that, thanks, Paul, for being here today. And I hope you're having a great rest of your day.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Cheers, Thomas.